October 13, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomaradspeaks.com. And you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we open up this evening, we are asking everyone to say a prayer for our beloved brother Sheikh Qasim Nathari's daughter, Tamina. She's in the hospital. We are praying and asking Allah to bless her to get well so she can return back home to her family and her community. Al-Islam is not a blind faith. You must use your rational faculty. The invitation of Al-Islam is not an invitation to blind faith. You must use your rational faculties. You must sit and think while you are hearing a call to Al-Islam. And you must reason and decide with your own tools of intelligence that, yes, this makes the better sense. It makes good sense that God is one, who created everything. So I bear witness that there is but one God and that Muhammad is the messenger of God. This religion came to invite people to the path of God. It is not for the spiritually drunk, those who accept faith blindly. God says to the Muslim in the Quran, you are the best of people, evolved for mankind, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and believing in God. Not only have the Muslim been told to promote the good, but God's prophet specifically points out to us the same thing. He said, he is not one of us who does not show mercy to our young ones and respect to the old ones, who does not recommend what is decent, reputable, and prohibited. What is indecent and disreputable. From the above, we see the God and his prophet, President, peace be upon him, telling us that we are to promote all that is good and we are to resist all that is bad. That is the community of people God wants. That is the requirement if we accept to be the community of Al-Islam. We must accept promoting the highest standards of personal and community excellence. We must be a people prohibiting and resisting wrong, indecency, falsehood, corruption, vulgarity, ignorance, deceit, greed, malice, ill will, and hatred. All of those negative things that causes deterioration, the degradation and regression in the life of man and society. We must be a community that rejects those things that are offensive to the good taste of the civilized man and offend the conscience of the honest and sincere people. If we are really Muslims, we have to be an active and not a passive community. We are not a call of sheep, dreamers, or spacewalkers. The Muslim is called by God to be an active community, As a Muslim, you have to register concerns of those around you. You must be concerned with whether they are being mistreated or suffering the burden of their own ignorance. If they need to be enlightened, you are obligated to enlighten them. You must also ask yourself questions such as, are they without business sense? For what reason do they have nothing but a life of dependency? If they are your Muslim brothers and sisters, and you are business-wise, and it is your obligation to enlighten them, you must also be concerned if those around you are giving themselves to wild and injurious kinds of influences in the Western culture. If you are aware of those damaging, injurious influences, and you see them giving themselves to those influences, then you are to rise to the challenge. The Muslim is obligated to stand up and meet the challenge from those things that will work to take us out of the excellent form and excellent future God intended for his creatures. Muslims are protesters. When we give our declaration of faith, Kalima, we are giving it as a protester. Or we could affirm just to say God is one. God, but no, we first say la in Arabic, which means no. That in itself is a protest. We not only say that God is one God, but we say no God but God. That carries a message of one who is protesting. Many of us are afraid to get into the moral army to fight for moral excellence in our immediate surrounding. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better education. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better living conditions in our neighborhood. Many of us are afraid to get in the army of protest by the consumer against those who ignore this humanity, treat man as though he is a vile animal, selling him inferior merchandise at a high price. When God is our greatest love and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more so than it is before our associates, that is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. Many of us fail to get in the army of law-abiding citizens when we see moral violators all around us, such as thieves, shoplifters, and vandals. Many of us live with these things without a burden on our conscience. If you can tolerate those things, you are not the Muslim community that God wants. A Muslim community must rise up to the challenge and meet the challenge. God has obligated us to go against and resist all that is bad. We are to insist upon what is good, what is excellent, and we are to prohibit what is wrong, bad, or degrading. We cannot claim to be Muslim if we are not willing to wear that principle and bear that responsibility, for God says, if you fail, I will rise up another people, and they will not fear the accusation, the criticism of those who criticize. Many of us cannot accept being unpopular. We say to ourselves, oh, God knows my heart, but if I go all the way with this religion, I am going to be unpopular with my associates. Well, if that is the way you feel and think, then you are not the one to carry out that great responsibility God has placed upon the Muslims of advancing right and resisting wrong. Those who carry out that responsibility must first be strong enough not to be dispirited, hurt, checked, or made weak by the fear of being unpopular. We cannot be strong if we worry about being unpopular when God is our greatest love and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more so than it is before our associates. That is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. It is a requirement for the Muslim to obey the will of God and to please him of what he has asked of us. That is the real Muslim. That is what it means when we say Muslim is one yielding to the will, yielding to the spirit to God. It means that you live most of all to satisfy what God has required of you. You live to meet God's demand and not the expectation of the people if their expectation are against what God has asked of you. Many of us have fallen short in living the life of a Muslim as a follower of Prophet Muhammad. Many have fallen short because they just don't know. Therefore, it is an obligation on those who know to bring the message clearly to the people. That obligation that was on our prophet, and he informed us that the same obligation or burden is on those who follow him. Pardon me. God says to us in the Quran, O you who believe, bow down and prostrate yourself and adorn your Lord and do good that you may prosper and strive in his cause as you ought to strive with sincerity and discipline. He has chosen you and has imposed no difficulty on you in religion. It was your father, it was the faith of your father Abraham. It is he who named you Muslim, both before and in this revelation, that the messenger be a witness for you and you be a witness for mankind. From the above verse, we see that the prophet will be a witness for us before God, and we are a witness before God with the people. If we carry out our responsibility, then we will be a witness and say, God, those people had no excuse for what they did and for the path that they took. We live true to our religion amongst them. God didn't say that the prophet and his followers are witnesses to Muslims only. He said that we are witnesses to the people, meaning all people, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim. It is also an obligation on the Muslim to warn their near relative, that the Holy Quran says, and when your nearest kinsman, warn your nearest kinsmen. And if they disobey you, say, I am free of the responsibility for what you do. Conversion to Islam was by good conduct. Many nations became Muslim not because someone preached to them, but because they observed the life of good Muslims in their nation and decided that they wanted to be a Muslim. That happened in much of Africa. The Africans saw the life of the Muslim and they were attracted to that life. Certainly, there was preachers, but most of the conversion came by excellent example of Islamic life that Muslims live. Out of necessity, the Muslims traded and visited with Africans, and many of them came to introduce the religion. But the religion grew in Africa because of the good example that Muslims showed to all people by living and by living the excellence of Islamic life. And this is the way we want to be. We want to live the Islamic life so that it may be an influence on others who observe how we live. Indonesia, a country that has the biggest Muslim population, was converted in the same way. Indonesia has over 100 million Muslims, and nobody came in there and conquered them with weapons. Nobody preached them into the religion with a missionary or movement to convert them. Indonesia became Muslim because it dealt with Muslim traders and Muslim business people. They were converted by the lifestyle of the good Muslim. These are the facts that everyone should know, especially the Muslim. For centuries, there has been an ugly war of false propaganda against the religion of Islam, and we want to correct this incorrect view of our example and lifestyle. It is not good for an imam to come out on Friday, Juma, and Sunday with his khutbah lecture and then go back and the people not see him anymore until next Friday. This is especially so if he is not working on a job or if he does not have a business to run. Prophet Muhammad didn't regard those who only devoted themselves to ritualistic and spiritual devotion with the same regard as those who were devoted spiritually, as well as working to help build the foundation of the community. Prophet Muhammad was a man who did both. Allah tells Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in the Quran, rise up and warn. And in another place he says, stand to pray by night, but not all night. Half of it or a little less. Truly rising by night is most potent for governing the soul and most suitable for framing the words. True, there is by day prolonged occupation with ordinary duties. We learn from this verse that God is telling the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, not to spend so much time in prayer at night that he would be too tired to carry out his duties to the community during the day. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had no off days. He was busy every day. There are some Muslims who take Sunday as a day of rest. Sunday is no rest day. Sunday is a work day. Muslims have no rest day, not even Friday. God tells us that when we hear the call to prayer on Friday, leave off business and respond to the call to prayer. And when the prayer is over, go our many different ways back to productive work. And then essentially knocks on the conscience. So the Muslim community should be a dynamic community, rising up to every challenge or call to prayer. The adhan essentially means that which knocks on the conscience. It is designed or formed to get our awareness, to get our attention. We give the call 5 times daily to make the Muslims aware of their concerns, and our most important concern is to be worshipers of God, to respond to him as he ordered us. On Friday, when the call to prayer is made, we are told by God to leave off worldly and business concerns and respond to him in the Jummah congregational prayers. When the prayer is concluded, we are to return to those things concerned with building and sustaining the life of society. If we understand this religion, we are in a good situation. Those who profess to be Muslim but don't understand their religion cannot be in a good situation. Muslim must understand what is fundamentally and essentially their religion. They must understand the major concerns and then make an effort to assist and extract themselves to carry out the obligation of Muslims and this religion in their homes and to their neighborhood. Neighborly concerns. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, he is not one of us who goes to sleep at night knowing his next door neighbor is hungry. This does not mean you have to feed your neighbor. It means that you will be condemned if you can go to sleep and it doesn't bother you that your next door neighbor is hungry. Many times it may bother us, but we are not in a position to do anything about it. But we do have to register concerns of our neighbor if we are going to be followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. We must never forget that the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, is a witness regarding us, and we are a witness regarding the people, all people. We cannot be a witness against the people of this earth if we do not conform to the model of excellence that God has revealed for us. We can only witness when we are the best example. How only then that we can be a witness for a people. I cannot recognize the good life of someone else if I am not associated with what is good. The more I am committed to stand for good and to promote good, the better witness I am for others who are doing good. As Muslims, we must lead the way in establishing what is good and clean, and we must prohibit what is wrong. Islam, the nature of the universe, it is Muslim. God tells us in the Holy Quran, it is he who has named you Muslim both before and in this revelation. We should understand that all the prophets of God were Muslim. This includes Adam, the first man, who is called our father. We should also understand that the religion of Islam built upon the excellence that God has given every man. And just as the nature of all the prophets were Muslim, it is the nature of everyone in our religion. But what is Muslim? Muslim means one who submits himself to the will of God, which is found in the nature of all things. Muslim is the major discipline for maintaining and advancing human life. It is the very nature of the Muslim to seek peace. God has given every creature its nature, and that nature is Muslim. You may say, do you mean the nature of a snake is Muslim? Yes, a snake wants peace. We also believe that the nature of the celestial bodies, the earth, the sun, the moon, the many stars, and other planets is Muslim. Science tells us that if there is confusion or disorder in the universe, there is a force that brings about order and peace again. This is in itself tells us that the nature of the universe is Muslim. Thus, Al-Islam is the religion after the every nature in which God created man. All religious people don't see God in the same way, but if they are sincere in their belief, God will help them. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, every child is born a Muslim, but it is the circumstances in which he is born that makes him Jew, Christian, or other. God says that he has established man on the order of the pattern found in the universe. He formed man to that pattern. And that is the pattern of belief behavior we call Islamic behavior. It should be clear to the Muslim that what Al-Islam offers in terms of behavior is the kind of behavior God creatures should have. Al-Islam offers its adherence the kind of future God creatures should look for in this life and in the hereafter. The Muslim life is not a life of conflict. It is a life of unity. The Muslim doesn't see spiritual life in any kind of conflict with community life, political life, or economic life. But because man is an emotional, moral, and spiritual creature, spiritual life is a necessary condition for him if he is to make real progress in the field of material reality. The essential life for man, if he is to make real progress on this earth, his spiritual life. And this life begins with a belief in our heart, our minds, and in our souls that we are accountable to one God who is superior, perfect, absolute, and eternal. All religious people do not see God. In the same way, but if they are sincere in their belief, God will help them. La ilaha will bring man out of hell. And we believe that if they are sincere, God will one day bless them to see clearly. Prophet Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, has said that as long as you hold on to the one God, eventually that belief will deliver you even though you are in hell. Human nature, the base that supports everything else. Nature appreciates it for its whole function and role. Do not blame it for deviation. The natural consciousness of man is excellent. God says that he has made man in the most excellent mold or form. Muslims reject the idea that the human nature is gross, is a gross matter, a situation for sin. We see the human nature as the base that supports everything else. Nature should be appreciated for its whole function and role and should not be blamed for deviation. Man has a very special nature that is human. He is not only Muslim, but he is also human. He is man. If someone displays a behavior that is characteristic of a snake, that person is outside of their true nature because their specific nature form is man. And the same applies to any other creature. If we imitate any other creature in our behavior, then we are stepping outside of our natural form, which is man. No one should say that nature is bad just because some men act like dogs. They should say that the nature is good, but some men are confused, acting outside of their true nature. If a dog acts like a dog in its nature, we don't say that the dog is bad, nor do we say that the nature is bad, because we expect the dog to act in the form of a dog. But if man acts like a dog, there are some ignorant scientists who say nature is bad. A scientist should be the last one to make such a statement. He should understand the difference. Nature should be appreciated for its whole function and role and should not be blamed for deviation. Al-Islam brings peace to our heart and to our soul. It reconciles the spiritual worldly life within us. Nature is not bad. It is excellent because of man's free will and free will copied form that are not his own. If he is denied the right kind of learning environment, God has given us a great freedom, but it is also a great risk, and it puts the moral burden on society to see that the circumstances are good for the evolution of the creature that God has made. The religion of Al-Islam brings peace to our heart and to our souls. It reconciles the spiritual world, spiritual and worldly life within us. It brings unity so that we are not secular in one part of our soul and spiritual in another part, causing war within our own soul against ourselves. Nature is excellent. Revelation comes and man finds his purpose. Some people run worldly reality to build a spiritual reality. God tells us in the Holy Quran, it is God who has sent down the book in truth and the balance by which ways conduct, hell. Some people run from the worldly reality of their form to build the spiritual reality, and some run from the spiritual reality of their form to build the worldly and the material reality. Such people are in trouble, but the Muslim should be united. His life should be reconciled. He should be at peace with himself, and most of all, at peace with his nature. Though nature is excellent and it is the beginning place, if we expect our lives to grow or develop, it is not enough. It is not until revelation comes that man really finds his purpose on this earth, his purpose in the universe, and has true satisfaction in his heart and soul. If anyone doubts that nature is a good base for establishing excellence for man in society, then they should look at Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad, a life of excellence. We have in the Messenger of God a beautiful pattern of conduct for anyone whose hope is in God and the final day. When we study the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, we find that he was excellent in his nature even before he was given the mission of prophethood and revelation. He was admired and trusted by his countrymen. Even before God missioned him, they called him the honest one, the trustworthy one, translated Al-Amin in Arabic. People saw something in him that made them feel that whatever he would say would be for the good of all that everyone could accept. Since we know that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was already established in his excellence of nature before he received revelation, that speaks for the religion being after the very nature in which God created man, Deen al-Fitra. If anyone doubts that nature is good, is a good base for establishing excellence for man in society, then they should look at Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. In him we see that he was trustworthy and morally upright. He refused to worship one. He refused to worship more than one God, even though all of his countrymen were bowing down to idols. The Quran made Muhammad a new man, a leader for his people. Even though Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was excellent in his nature, admired by his countrymen, and trusted by everybody, still he was unhappy in his moments of heaviness of heart. He would go to the cave of Hijra at the top of the mountain called Jubal al-Nura, Mountain of the Light, which is on the outskirts of the city Mecca. There in the opening of the cave would he sit and think on the condition of his people, the condition of the world, and in his soul he would cry out to God. And it was there that God responded to him and gave him the first revelation of Quran. It was with revelation that Prophet Muhammad became the messenger of God, a new man, a leader for his people and for all people. Revelation enabled him to lead his people out of darkness and ignorance into moral excellence, knowledge and sciences, ethnical life, strong community life, economic principles, political principles, etc. A world was formed, and it became the most dynamic society in the world at that time. Even today, scientists and historians marvel who study what took place during his life and mission. They admit that no other person has been able to accomplish so much in such a short span of time. He turned his people around from an idolatry, a scattered, disunited, warring people, of small factions of gangs and tribes into one united community under God. To tell people that their nature is bad hinders and burdens them unnecessarily. Islam encourages us to embrace nature's excellence. Let us understand the excellence of nature. Let us also understand that God rewards us for obeying the excellence of our nature. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was rewarded to be the model for all men because he obeyed the excellence of his nature. In this society, it is very important for Muslims to know that God approves of human nature. There is no ritual or exercise in our religion to train, strengthen, or prepare us to disengage our life from our nature. On the contrary, there are influences, teachings, and et cetera to encourage us to embrace, to accept, and to appreciate, to understand that our nature is excellent. Perversion, deviation from man, dreaming outside of nature. It is the unnatural condition in the mind of man that has led to the extreme kinds of deviation we have in the behavior of man. If you must die, then die to your own foolishness and not to the nature in which God created you. If someone tells you your nature is bad, you should ask, if I am bad by nature, what is the use of trying to be good? It is natural, for people to want to be themselves. God made us that way. So if you give somebody an ideology or philosophy or a theology that says to them that their nature is bad, then you are telling them if you want to be good, you will never be yourself. Actually, you are telling them that they have to go outside of the nature in which God created them if they are to be good. It is the unnatural condition in the mind of man that has led to his extreme kinds of deviation. We have in the behavior of man on this earth, God did not create the situation for man to go to the extreme that he goes in, being a deviant, a pervert, or some kind of weird creature. God did not create a situation for extremist behavior in a deviant line or deviant direction. It was man experimenting, dreaming, and acting outside of the void. It's his good nature that brought him to such a conclusion, which brought about the introduction of the false idea that says man must free himself from his nature. Such teachings say that man must first die to his own nature. The truth is that if you must die, then die to your own foolishness and not to the nature in which God created you. And once that happens, then you can live in the truth. Reason and concern, the two important parts of human life. Noah's flood says, concern can flood out without reason. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 11, Noah's flood. Genesis 6:11, Noah's flood. The story of Noah in the Bible, also in the Quran, the sacred book of the Muslim, the human being, is a creation of reason and a creature of concern. These are the two important parts of human life. We can think, reason, question, examine, analyze things, and look for how to improve things by this examination of things. But we also are creatures of concern. Sometimes we give our life to concerns so much and not enough to reason. and to those concerns flood the life out, and the whole society begins to be supported by concerns and not by reason or good sense. That was Noah's flood. We have a flood going on now. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 13 to 18. One blast resurrection. Dead resurrected with the one blast. Wither, symbolic of the one blast, will stand the dead up. So we have many rak'ahs or many sections of prayer. But there is a prayer that we say in the month of Ramadan, and it is finished with one rak'ah. Only the one section, we say two sections and we sit down. We stand up for a third section and we pray one rak'ah, and we finish it. Scripture says that the dead will be resurrected and they will be awakened with three blasts. But God says there is going to come a time when only the one blast that will stand the dead up, and that is what I'm giving you now, the one blast that will stand the dead up. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 13 to 18, one blast resurrection. Dead resurrected with the one blast. So with a symbolic of one blast that will stand the dead up. So we have many rak'ahs and prayers. We have many sections of prayer. But there is a prayer that we say in the month of Ramadan, and it is finished with one rak'ah. Only the one section finishes it. We say two sections and we sit down. We stand up for the third section and we pray one rak'ah and we finish it. Scripture says that the dead will be resurrected, and they will be awakened with the three blasts. But God says there is going to come a time when only the one blast will stand the dead up. And that is what I'm giving you now, the one blast that will stand the dead up. All you have to do is keep your interest focused. Stay clear. Keep that in mind and never forget any time or any day that you're living. Never forget that your first interest is supposed to be your maker who created you and everything. Wake up with it and go to bed with it. And I guarantee you that you will not need any more rak'ahs to keep you standing. I'm not telling you to change the prayer. God obligates us with revelation. Our holy book is our guidance. But I'm telling you that will wake us up. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 17, 8 bears throne. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 75, and Surah 40 and Ayat 7, holds up throne means the equal role of God. They support it without question, without allowing their own thoughts to come into the picture. Wings are used to lift up. Every time we make sajda, the believers make ascension. Two wings symbolic of the rak'ah's fajr. Three wings symbolic of the three rak'ah's maghrib. Four wings symbolic of the four rak'ah's surah, asr, and isha. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayah 17, 8 holds up. Two hands, knees, no toes, forehead, nose equals 8. So when you make four rak'ahs, you make 8 sajdas, meaning we want the throne of ours to be successful too. So when you make surah, asa, isha, you make four rak'ahs with 8 sajdas. What is the throne? It means the rule. Man wants to preserve the rule that he has over the family, town, and nation. If you want to preserve the rule, then break the day up for 4 times of prayer. So if you want to hold up the throne, interrupt that business. Look how successful the Muslims were under the Prophet. They became the greatest society on earth. They led other societies back to civilization. So Asa, Lel, Kedira, clock of God and man. The Quran, Surah 70, Ayat 4. One day with God is like 50,000 years. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayat 48, one day with God is as a 1,000 years. The Quran, Surah 79, Ayat 42, when is the hour time? Time Salat, when is the hour time? Allah says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, wait until he come with his clock. And what is the clock? It is a timepiece. There are two realities referred to here in that saying in the Quran. One reality is the reality that all of us know. We know timepiece in the world of man. The watch I am wearing now, the alarm clock I carry with me, sometimes on my trips or to the clock on my wall at home. All of these timepieces are clocks, or the timepieces of man. But God says, wait until he come with his timepiece, with his siyah. I know he knows what siyah means, but I went to class and we had to learn siyah in the same class. God doesn't use a foreign term that he has to explain to us that means a watch, clock, something that keeps time. He uses the most common language for timepiece in the Arabic language is siyat. And that is the one he uses. Wait until God comes with his siyat. So this is in scripture that came before, not just in our scripture, that lets us know right now what we are aiming at. That direction now is to show us the world as affected by God and to show us the world as planned by God. So the movement of natural forces is the clock of God. And the man-made orchestrated forces is the clock of man. Both have movement. Both have an object, a destiny, an end, an aim. And both are movements, and there is no time without movement. Time has referred to movement. Even for a thing that is dead, when you speak of that, of the time, for it, you are talking about movement, how it has been affected by years, how it has deteriorated, or how it has been affected during a period of time, how corrosion has affected it. So you can measure its age, a tree, how many rings are formed. You can measure its age. Isn't it wonderful how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a tree so that if you cut it, you can see its age right there as though he wrote it in a letter. In numbers, just count the ring. Every spring, a new ring. So forces of nature are bringing in the word of God. Forces of nature are bringing in the world God wants. These are the two timepieces. What is more important is not to know about the two timepieces. The important thing to know is that God is not depending upon the world and its leaders to bring in the world that he wants for people. Natural forces are creating to use to usher in the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for all people. Isn't it a wonder of God? The living generation, the generous and merciful God, to give man an invitation to work for himself, be his servant, to bring in his world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already created the forces of nature that are going to bring in his world. But he wants to share the great celebration. Trees, rocks, stones, dogs, cats, and lions. and elephants. They can't come to the party. They don't have the consciousness to come to the party. So God wants his nature, his human creation, to come to the party and join him in the great celebration of the victory to come. Isn't it wonderful? He created man and jinn to share in the celebration. If they would only join the effort, then they'd be welcome to the party. Only his workers are welcome. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because those who are not his workers, they are turned off. They are turned only on to temporary things, expedient enjoyment that comes in and goes out and sees no more things. This is a great day we're living in, God's clock and the world's clock, or God's timepiece and the world's timepiece. Please indicate that the world timepiece is explained by man, planned based upon his recognition of his work, but not the clock of God. The clock, the timepiece of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is based on or explained upon our recognition of the order of the natural universe, how God has made these universes to bear or to operate upon his will and his plan for mankind. We really need to write volumes on science or scientific theory. This also includes our perception of the life and the nature of the universe itself. Some of you are getting this, but it is too much for a lot of you. It is easy if you don't strain the mind too much. I saw a guy, he couldn't get his car started. He was just pressing on the accelerator. He flooded the thing out. Another man came and took up the top off the carburetor and let some air get in there. And he went and started it up. And he's ready to go. Don't strain too hard. You will damage the equipment. You're using, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two realities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says man's timepiece with God is one day. As compared to God, it is like 1,000 years of man's time. One day in God's time is like 1,000 years in man's time. Man's looking at the one day clock that is 24 hours. And on a clock, a whole 1,000 years is in that one day. So reasoning in the body of language, we would say that in 1,000 years, man has to take rest, because in his 24 hours, he takes a rest every night. So in 1,000 years, pardon me, man is going to active part of that time, and he is going to be resisting part of that time. The Quran descended on the night and the time. Its duration coming down to man is as 50,000 years. Not 1,000 years, but 50,000 years. Now, I can't keep you with me, so I'm not going to try to take you down that road. I'm just going to tell you what is at the end of that road, the exact science. The Quran's purpose is to bring man to the exact science. 50,000 years relates to America's 50 states. The purpose of the revelation of the Quran was to bring within man's reach and put in his hand that which he would need to arrive at the exact science. And that is exactly what happened. It is no accident, or it is not without purpose, that these United States began with 13 colonies, and then the United States came into being, and those colonies came under a different political order, and they grew to be 48 states and stayed that way for a long time and found it necessary that their own growth as a nation communicated the best to those of vision and eyes to see, they changed from 48 to 50 states. And aren't we a scientific nation now? So we have many references to the two movements, the movement of man in his own thinking, or in his own pride, and the movement of the natural world, forces. And then there is a third movement, the movement of God's plan, the word of God, revelation. But know that the natural forces were created to bring us to him eventually. So we are going to come to him. He doesn't have to worry about that. That is why when we die, they say, "Inna lehi wa inna lehi raji'un." Inna lehi, inna ilehi wa inna ilehi raji'un, translated. Surely to Allah we belong, and to him, and to him we are returning. You finish. If you have gone astray, you are not going to stray anymore. You are dead now, and you are not going anywhere on your own. You have joined the natural system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created to obey his will. Isn't that wonderful? This is so wonderful to be seen consciously. In the new reality, I wouldn't give anything for this. This is the life. The Quran, Surah 70, Ayat 4, a day as 50,000 years. Laylatul Qadra is not talking about what has manifested. It is talking about what can manifest. So it pronounces Laylatul Qadra, not Qadira. So it is the capacity potential. Capacity is seen in the Quran. Capacity is seen in Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. The capacity is seen in establishing the Ummah. So the potential for that capacity is coming down in the month of Ramadan. It is just starting, but it is going to manifest Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He had to receive it. So he could be born. It is going to manifest Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. It is going to manifest the established Ummah, and it is coming down as 50,000 years. Day as 50,000 years is community enlightenment based upon the five senses. The Islamic community enlightenment based upon the five senses of man is going to have to reach Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, as though it takes 50,000 years. It is much longer than that. It should say 50,000 light years. The new language now in this world, it should say 50,000 light years. It is coming from the essence of creation, the essence of the universe, before even the universe had come to its capacity. Was nothing but a potential. It is coming from that distance to reach Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in his five senses. His brain is just not capable of carrying this. He is going to have to come entrusted to his heart, and in time it will communicate from his soul to his brain, and they will get it as slow rain. 1,000 years therein descend the angels and the Holy Spirit. The angels are not on their own. The Holy Spirit is not on its own with the permission of their Lord from every order of command. Not one command up here and the command down there. Peace, salam. Because this is kashirun min alfi shahira. Translated, it is better than 1,000 years. How can they be but peace when the operator of love and peace is in the whole working. It is the center of the whole working, love and peace. So this is the night of power, and I was not with them. And it thinks they are going to have it again tonight or last night. It was the 27th. Now that you can have it on the 29th and on any odd night. The 27th was last night. I'm pretty sure the 27th was last night, not the 29th. It was the 29th. The next day is Eve. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Allah speaks the truth. We want to remind you that let's make a prayer for our beloved Sheikh Qasim Nathari's daughter, Tamina. She's in the hospital. And we are asking for everyone to pray for her. And don't think because you might be a Christian or some other religion that you can't pray for a person if they're not in your religion. That is not true. Our holy book says that God says that he hears the prayers of every supplicant that calls on him. And he says, and with the will, listen to my call that you may walk in the right way. So whatever language you are praying in, and whatever consciousness you are praying in, Allah hears your prayers. So please pray for our beloved sister. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us. We thank New Africa. Marad speaks. New Africa, excellent enterprise. Marad speaks for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you, our honorable listening audience. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. And I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.